exciting morning of worship. I hope that you have truly worshiped our Lord as we come to the time to look at the Word of God in Matthew 21. It's good to be back with you this week. Leanne and I enjoyed getting away for a few days and enjoyed getting back home. And it's good to be here this morning. Good to have a man like Frank Martin that can step in and preach and take care of things while I'm away, and thankful that God has brought their family here. If you don't know Frank and his family, I hope that you'll get to know them very soon. They're a very special, special family. You know, it's amazing how we can find ourselves in the Bible in so many different places. It's amazing how in a word that was written so long ago that we can find ourselves in the stories that are told and in the history that is given, if we take a moment and just allow ourselves to be a part of it, we begin to see ourselves in the different characters that are there. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. I'm wondering today, can you find yourself among the people of Jerusalem? Can you find yourself among the people who are there gathered for the time of year, and great celebration that is taking place, and so many things are happening, and people are everywhere, and here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. What an exciting day. What an exciting time. And most people don't understand what's taking place. Actually, there's really only one that truly understands what's about to happen. And the others are just a part of what is going on and getting caught up in some things. Let's pick up in Matthew chapter 21. Look at these first 11 verses. And then we're going to talk about a few of these characters that may be here. And there are probably some others that we're not going to hit on this morning. But you may be able to find yourself today. The triumphal entry in Matthew 21, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughters of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." There was a lot of excitement about what was going on. People were excited that Jesus was coming into town. People were excited about the things that were happening. And they were shouting, "Hosanna." They were shouting, "Save us." They were looking to Jesus. They were hoping that he would be one that would bring them out of I'm not going to say bondage, but they were ruled over by the Romans, and they wanted to be able to get back on top again. They wanted to be the ones in control of the things that were going on. So let's talk about the groups that were here. First, we have the disciples. The disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. They have walked with Jesus. They have talked with Jesus. They have listened to Jesus. They have heard his teachings. They have heard the things about who he is and listened and learned and grown in the things that were taking place. But they still didn't quite understand what was about to take place. They still didn't understand that they were coming to a place where Jesus was going to die, where Jesus was going to the cross. He was going to shed his blood. He was going to lay down his life. They'd been told, but they didn't quite get it. But on this day, Jesus sends them out. They bring back the donkey. They put their coats on and they head to Jerusalem. And there's a lot of people that are excited to see Jesus coming into town. They're laying their coats on the ground in front of him. They're laying palm branches down in front of him. It's an exciting day. Jesus is coming to town. Folks, that's exciting for us to think about, isn't it? But folks, we don't have to think about Jesus coming to town because Jesus has come to town. Jesus is here. He's here this morning. But here are the disciples. They've come in. There's a great celebration going on. People have lined the streets. They put down their coats. They put down the palm branches. They're cheering and they're yelling. And here are the disciples walking in with Jesus. And they're a part of the celebration because they're walking in with Jesus. And can you imagine that? You're walking in and the crowds are cheering and yelling and hollering. And you kind of get caught up in it a little bit. And, hey, yeah, yeah, look at us. Look at us. Yeah, yeah, we're with him. Yeah, we're with him. We're part of his crowd. We're the one. And they're excited about the things that are going on. But what we realize is this, they would fail. The disciples would fail. Now, you know, if you're sitting there thinking, I want to be one of those guys. Yeah, I want to be identified with them. Realize this, they would fail. In just a few days, they're going to observe the Lord's Supper together. They're going to sit down together with Jesus. Jesus is going to break bread with them. He's going to share the wine with them. They're going to talk together. They're going to share together. Jesus is trying to help them understand. He is about to die. Now, if you look over in Luke chapter 22, and I'm not going to read from there this morning, but if you take time to look over there at some point, you're going to see a discussion that the disciples get into right after supper. And it's an amazing thing that they've gotten into. And I don't know if coming in with a crowd yelling and hollering and getting caught up in the situation, but they're beginning to discuss together, hey, I'm greater than you are. I've done more than you've done. I set up a little higher. Jesus thinks a little more of me than he thinks of you. You ever been there? They're beginning to get into that discussion once again about who is the greatest, who is the most important. They don't really want Jesus to know the conversation that they're having, but Jesus being Jesus, he knows. He already knows what's going on. He knows the situation that is before them. He knows the things that are happening before them. And they get a little embarrassed here. Jesus is arrested. And when he's taken away, where are the disciples? You know, we want to put Peter down a lot. Peter is a little overzealous sometimes. Speaks before he thinks a lot of the time. Cut off a soldier's ear. Jesus put it back. Denied Jesus three times. But folks, before you think too badly of Peter, where are the other guys? They're not even in the picture right now. At least Peter's there. Yes, he messed up. Yes, he said the wrong things. Yes, he did what he never thought he would do. He denied Jesus. But as we read on through the Gospels and you get to the end of the book of John, you see they would recover. Peter would recover. See, they would become stronger than they had ever been. The thing is, we've got to realize we all fail at times. We all come up short. We all think we're going to stand up and we don't. We all think we're going to be this certain person and we're not. We all begin to think too highly of ourselves. And then we get knocked back down. And the question is, do we learn? Do we learn from it? What we see from Peter, what we see from the disciples is they became leaders. They didn't let a failure define who they were. When we think of Peter, we don't automatically go to three times he denied Jesus. We think about the rock. We think about the strength that he brought. We think about the message that he preached. Yes, he failed. But he came back strong and powerful through the power of God and the Holy Spirit in his life. I wonder, do you see yourself as a disciple of Jesus in the ways that we've just looked at? There were other followers. There were followers in the street that were there. Lying in the streets, they had seen the miracles. They had heard the teachings. They had seen who Jesus is. They had seen a lot about the things that had taken place. And they believed in Jesus. They believed in who he is. They had seen him raise the dead. They had seen different things about him. They're in the crowd. They're probably part of the yelling and the hollering. You know, we kind of get caught up in that sometimes, don't we? They're yelling and they're hollering in the crowd, but once Jesus is arrested, once things begin to turn, once the week takes a very severe turn from praising Jesus and hollering for his salvation to the crucify him, these followers, they would be silent too. They cheered his coming. They enjoyed the celebration. But then they became silent. They didn't know what to do or what to say. How many times do we become silent? We become silent because we're afraid somebody might not understand what we're talking about. We're afraid somebody might not accept Jesus. We're afraid somebody might get mad at us. Here are the followers that they've seen Jesus. They've tried to be there for the different things that have taken place. They may have been there for the feeding of the 5,000. They may have been there when Lazarus was raised up from the grave. They've seen, they know the power of Jesus Christ. But in the situation that's here, they have stepped back. They become quiet. They don't understand. They don't know how to step forward. They don't know how to explain. Folks, many of these are going to be the ones that would become the church. Many of these would respond to the preaching of a risen Savior. They would respond. Because all of a sudden, it all becomes clear. Isn't it great when everything becomes clear? When all of a sudden that you realize that my hope is Jesus Christ. My love is Jesus Christ, that He gave His life for my sin. And He is my hope to get to heaven. He is the only way. These were the ones who had watched and seen. They were afraid. They were silent. They were probably amazed. They would become the church. They would become those who would step up when the message was beginning to be preached and accept Jesus Christ. And there would be others as well. Here's the disciples, there's the followers, and then there's the pretenders. The pretenders. I hope you're not a pretender. But there are pretenders in the crowd. Many in the crowd loved the show. They loved what they were seeing. They loved when everything was going good. They loved the miracles that were taking place. They loved the powerful word that Jesus would preach with. They loved being a part of things when everything was going wonderful. But when everything stopped being wonderful, they weren't there anymore. They were looking somewhere else. They were looking for another show. They were looking for another place to go. They were looking for another somebody or something. I mean, Jesus had gone to the cross. Forget Him. What's next? The pretenders. They would celebrate His coming. They missed the message. They missed the meaning of the message. They were looking for power. They were looking for revenge on the Romans. They were looking for things for themselves. They missed Jesus in the process. There are so many people in this world that go through this life, hear about Jesus, see the love of Jesus, but miss it because they're looking for something different. There's no greater message than I have to preach to you than that Jesus has died for your sin, that He has been to the grave, that He has risen from the grave, and He's coming back. He loves you. He cares about you. He knows what's going on in your life. These folks were missing it. They were pretenders. They were part of the crowd. They looked like followers of Jesus. They looked like those who wanted to hear the message until the message became difficult. Until the picture became something they did not want to see. This Jesus, who they thought would be sitting on this throne over here, was bloody and battered and bruised and unrecognizable and hanging on a cross. And they turned their heads and they looked somewhere else. Folks, I want to urge you today, don't look somewhere else. Look to Jesus. He is our hope. He is our future. They would celebrate His coming. They would celebrate His dying. You know, the pretenders are going to jump in with the in crowd at the moment. We all know those people. I hope we're not one of those people. The crowd on Sunday is full of love, full of hope, full of celebration. Jesus is coming to town. Later in the week, the cry turns to crucify Him. Crucify Him. Put Him to death. Get Him out of here. He's not what we want. What a sad thing to begin to look at and to think about. They couldn't see that what they needed was more important than what they wanted. Folks, how many times do we talk to people that way? They can't see that what they need is more important than what they want. That Jesus' death was for them. Jesus' death is for you. The pretenders. And then there's the haters. Kind of what everybody says today. What are haters going to do? Haters are going to hate. It didn't matter what Jesus did. It didn't matter how Jesus went about doing it. It didn't matter who Jesus helped. They were going to find something wrong with it. They were going to find something wrong with anything and everything that He did in His life. Those who had abused their position and their power for personal gain were in jeopardy of losing it all. They were in jeopardy of losing everything that they had worked for. They hated Jesus. They hated people following Jesus. They hated, they didn't like Him from the beginning. You know, Herod wanted Him dead when He was born. Herod tried to kill Him before He could ever get started. Once He started His ministry and people began to follow Him, people were hating on Him. People were trying to plot for His death. They wanted Him dead. They wanted Him out of the way. They wanted Him taken care of. They didn't like Him at all. He was changing things. He was changing the way people were looking at things. He was changing the traditions that they had. He was changing the way people were going to go about worship. And they didn't like it. Now, something we all know is we all struggle with change, don't we? When things begin to change, we get a little uncomfortable. When Jesus came, for these folks, it got a lot uncomfortable. And they were working to kill Him until He died. They wanted Him dead. They worked to make it happen. They didn't realize that they couldn't take His life. Do you remember Jesus' words? No man takes my life. I lay it down willingly. He came to die. He came with a purpose in mind. To lay down His life for you and for me. Now what an exciting thing to begin to grasp a hold of. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is God Almighty who has come to this earth in the form of a man to lay down His life and shed His blood for you and for me. He died in His time and on His terms. He died His way. He died shedding pure, perfect, sinless blood for you and for me. There were haters in the crowd. And the last one I'm going to talk about today is the Messiah Himself, Jesus. Now, none of us are Him. I hope we realize that before we even start talking about Jesus. None of us are Him. But in our lives, we are to long and search and study and pray and allow God to work in our lives and change us to be like Him. He came to die. We've already talked about that. He marched into Jerusalem to lay down His life. That was His purpose when He walked in, for every person. He came in to die for Barabbas, who was released. He came in to die for the thieves that were on the cross beside Him. He came in to die for the CEO of every company. And for the custodian that cleans every one of those buildings for those CEOs. The same blood, the same love, the same Jesus. He came to die for the deacons, for the Sunday school teachers, for the kids that get in trouble every week. He came to die for the well-off. He came to die for those in prison. Jesus came to die for everyone. He came to die for you. Something we all have to grasp is there's no way to heaven outside of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there's going to come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For some people, it's going to be too late. For some, it's going to be on a judgment day when He's going to look at them and say, I'm sorry, I never knew you. I knocked on the door of your heart. I wanted to come in. I wanted to be a part of your life, and you said no. You turned me away. I wanted to be there. I wanted to come in. I wanted to save you. I wanted you to have an eternity in heaven with me. But you chose not to. And because of that choice, you got to spend an eternity in hell separated from God. There's going to come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He came to die. But folks, He didn't just come to die. He came to live. He came to live. Next Sunday's Easter, I know. But I don't think I can preach a message and leave Jesus in the grave till next Sunday. He came to die, but He rose from the grave. The stone was rolled away. Jesus walked out. Today we know He has ascended into heaven with a promise of His return to call His children home. The question is, are you ready? Are you prepared for the day? Are you prepared to meet Jesus? None of us know when that day is going to come. None of us know. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be another 50 years. If Jesus doesn't call from the clouds for us to rise up to meet Him, we're all going to face death. But one way or another, we come to that point where we're going to come face to face with Jesus. And the question is, are you ready for the day? Folks, if you know Jesus, you can live a life with hope, a life with purpose, a life with contentment, a life with real, true joy. We live in a world right now where there's a lot of struggle. People are living in fear. People are afraid to go places and do things. Folks, when you know Jesus, you don't have to live that way. We trust Him. This is something I've told my family many times. If something happens to me today, don't worry about it. I'm good. I'm good. I know my Savior. I know Him personally. And I know that He has given me a peace about my future. And I don't know what everything is going to line up for the next years of my life here on this earth, if I have those. But I know when this life is over on this earth, I'm good. My Bible says Jesus is going to make me like Him. Praise God. Because I get tired of being like me sometimes. Do you? Praise God. Do you know Him today? Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Are you serving Him? Are you living in a way that brings honor and glory to Him? Folks, I want to invite you to come this morning. This altar is open here at the front. There may be those in your family that you need to share with this week so that they will understand better what Easter is all about. It's not about bunnies, and it's not about eggs, and it's not about chocolate. It's about Jesus. And that's where the celebration comes in. I invite you to come today. Father, as we come before You, we thank You that You are strong and that You are in control and that we have You to look to. And God, as we come to this time of commitment today, I pray that as we look at our lives and look at where we fit in, and all the excitement that was going on in Jerusalem. Father, so many times Jesus is missed. Father, so many times we come to church on Sunday morning and we miss Jesus. Our focus is on this or that or the other, and accomplishing this and finishing that and doing this. And Father, right now I pray that all these things would be removed from our minds. And in these next few moments, as we focus on You, that we would get real. That we would get real about the life we're living. And whether we're truly living it for You or for somebody else. Because God, if it's for somebody else, it's a waste. I thank You that You came and You lived a perfect life. That You died shedding Your blood for our sin. That You rose again promising hope and victory to all who will turn to You in faith. God, we give this time to You today. In Your name I pray. Amen. As we stand and we sing, You come.